All right. So it'd be fun to go loose with this one.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I mean,
we'll play it like Meredith. Just who gives a f***?
Fast and loose, baby.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and rehab facility receptionist, Sean Roney.
I'm Edwin Janes, supplier relations.
And with us, as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
I don't mind telling you that I have an addiction. I do. To porn.
Oh. I love the, oh. Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office.
Every other week in November.
This week we're talking about Meredith Palmer, a.k.a. the Marinator, a.k.a. Mary Beth, Mare, and Fire Girl. later in the episode, we'll do a conference room, as we always do, and some trivia, as we always do. But yeah, we're going to talk about Meredith Palmer, played by the great Kate Flannery, who was born and raised in Pennsylvania. She was a member of Second City in Chicago. She's done lots of stage work as well as television, including Nora Ephron's Love Lost and What I Wore. Before The Office, she made appearances on The Bernie Mac Show, Boomtown, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and the Jimmy Kimmel Live Show. Last year, she was a contestant on Dancing with the Stars, which I didn't even know that.
Really?
Yeah. And she's the former musical director of the Los Angeles Drama Club, where she taught Shakespeare to children and young adults. So,
wow.
Bet you didn't know that.
Do you think she can? I guess she sings a little bit in the show. She does some karaoke.
Yeah, no, she has a lot of musical. Oh, yeah. In fact, oh, that's another thing. She does this like show with Jane Lynch, and she's on Jane Lynch's Christmas album.
Mm.
So,
oh yeah, I read that. I think I checked that out. The same Wikipedia article you are looking at.
I think so.
We've been circling Meredith for a while, and we've had a lot of people asking, okay, can you guys do Meredith? And we can do Meredith. But she would probably be down. No, she is. Okay, so have you guys seen the charts of, like, you know, the there's like D&D alignments or the Myers-Briggs test of all the, you know,
we've talked
characters.
About them on our right. show a couple times.
Yes. Yeah. So Meredith is usually categorized on those as like chaotic neutral.
Yeah,
which I agree with. I mean, would you guys agree with that? That's right. Sort of what Meredith is on the show. If it's like lawful good, neutral good, you know, chaotic good.
I would maybe go chaotic good, but
chaotic
yeah, in that
good.
Zone. Perhaps
you think Meredith
perhaps.
Is Meredith a force for good in The Office?
What do you think that she's done that is? That you could point to that's a good thing that she's done, I guess.
Well, I was going to get to there, that kind of stuff, over the course of our discussion.
All right.
But we can start with it off the top if you want.
I like to start with a bird's eye, you know, like what's her role on the show?
I will say that over the course of the show, I just noticed that Meredith is such a bro to so many of the other characters. She's just a good friend to a lot of other characters in ways that are very subtle and not really expecting, or that we as viewers aren't necessarily expecting. Even though... at first glance, you're thinking about, like, it's probably not the first thing that comes to mind when you think of her. It's probably not the funniest moment or anything like that, but that's something I noticed in preparing for this episode. I am very excited to talk about Meredith, because as we've done these other character profiles and as we've done other episodes, we find ourselves finding really great Meredith moments that we love, and it builds up that excitement to do this episode. So I think we're all really excited to get into it.
She's definitely a character, like, as I age and get older, that I appreciate more and more and more.
Oh, yeah. Well, dude.
And her,
she's just unapologetically herself, and I feel like she's always looking out for numero uno. You know?
Oh yeah.
Like she doesn't give a F about nothing.
She's in a small group of office characters, which I would say is maybe, I would say her, Creed.
Definitely.
And maybe Kevin, they don't really undergo any existential chaos throughout the course of the show. They're never concerned about their status. They're not trying to necessarily achieve something. The whole time they're sort of at the same level. They're never really a part of major plots. Right. And it's, you know, all those people sit in the furthest corners of the office. Those three people that I just said.
Meredith knows herself in her own words. Yeah. She says, "Hey, what do you want? I know who I am. Nobody's taking Meredith Palmer to the opera to meet the queen."
Yeah, exactly. Like she's so refreshing in so many ways. Cause she's just mm-hmm. like, yeah, I don't care. I'm just me. And if you don't like me, that's fine. I get it. It's really nice. And especially in a show that's kind of has a lot of characters who are the opposite of that. She's such a nice ingredient and one who is featured in the background a lot.
Big time. Yeah. I feel like Meredith and Creed especially seem to exist in their own universe that has its own rules. Mm-hmm. Like they...
And that universe is solitaire.
Yeah.
On that Microsoft. Universe,
cigars come in bags, not boxes.
Oh, yeah. Like Clooney.
No tops come.
But I think that's a great place to...
Like Clooney.
I think that's a great place to start, though, Alex, because you're saying, like, you know, she exists in the background so much. So, like, you know, in early seasons, it takes a minute for... Well, actually, I feel like her identity develops pretty quickly in comparison mm-hmm. to some other people. Because we're talking about her hysterectomy right away in season one.
she's drinking heavily by season two.
Yeah. And then season two, Christmas episode, Benihana Christmas, we get Meredith flashing
Christmas
Michael.
Season two.
Christmas yeah, Christmas
Benihana
party.
Christmas season
two. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Sorry. So she flashes Michael in that episode. So pretty early on establishes.
I'm going to push back. I wouldn't say it. She flashes Michael. She just completely undresses for Michael.
That's a good point.
A flash would be an open close, and she's just like shirts off.
Yeah. One of those classic Michael sounds.
A Michael nonverbal for the ages.
On the way out the door. All right. Do you have a coat? And then he does the like. he makes that face. All right.
Later in the roast, she says that Michael put the picture of her bare boobs on the bulletin board with the caption "gross."
I know.
That's very
Michael,
rude,
Michael. You are the reason I live to forget.
You are the reason I drink.
She is. There's so much of her in the background too. We're like. Something will happen in the foreground, and a lot of times then it'll sort of pan over, or you'll get a little Meredith reaction in the background. She gets a lot of just short, nonverbal, just reactions. That's sort of her role a lot. She's like a member of the audience in the office a lot of the times, where she's just sort of watching the day's events play out and occasionally throwing in a really funny little line, but otherwise pretty much detached from everyone there and the inner workings of the office.
It is interesting how early on she starts basically in the background outside of the Alliance when they throw that surprise party. But basically for the first few seasons, she's kind of only drawn or characterized with her drinking and her, I guess you'd call it promiscuity. But it over the course of time, she becomes such a big part of the ensemble where she's like by the end, she can be kind of a bully. Mm-hmm. She's unapologetically herself. She kind of owns who she is. She has a lot of really funny essential lines and kind of like a character like Oscar where she has a lot of lines to facilitate scenes or set up scenes. Or I'm thinking of when Michael calls her up for the business trip episode and I am ashamed by your naked face. Like, Meredith, you are now from Abu Dhabi. And she just goes, hello. Yeah. She just plays along. So, yeah.
How you like me now? Oh, wow.
That's when she shaves her
head. She pops in with the shaved head. And that's like, to me, that's one of my Mount Rushmore Meredith moments, because she's just like, I'm the only one with the balls to tell those lice who's boss. And she's just like,
boss. Yeah.
She just is, she's so delightful because she really doesn't care. And she's just,
we're out there busting our balls and breaking our balls.
I mean, Meredith, she's a survivor, man. I mean,
Meredith will, like, do okay.
Even Dwight calls it. He's like, Meredith will do fine in the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. She has to, after Michael and maybe Dwight, have the most moments where the entire office just, real shock and awe factor.
That's both drops I've played so far ended with everyone going, oh.
Meredith, where are your panties? Damn it.
It's casual day.
It's casual Friday. Oh, my God. Angela, like, she's such a good... the yin to Angela's yang, like, of someone Angela looks at with disgust, just absolute disgust of everything wrong with the world is in Meredith. And Meredith is just like, doesn't care. And I don't think she looks at Angela that way. Like, I don't think she looks at Angela with any contempt. She's just like, I am who I am. And and she commits all the way. She shaves her head, you know, she sleeps with the sales reps. She does what she needs to do. She plays solitaire openly in front of everyone all day. I mean, she's out in the open.
There is a moment when Meredith flat out says, "Shut up, Angela." When it's in Ben Franklin in season yeah. 3, I believe. Mm-hmm. And no one else will say that to her, or no one else does stand up to her like that in front of everyone, like in the bullpen area of the office like that.
Yeah. You mentioned her alcoholism, Sean, and that is probably her defining characteristic through several seasons of the show.
It's not her promiscuity. Yes.
It's she likes to drink and have sex. And so obviously yeah. she's a fan favorite.
She likes to party. Sex. So what?
I mean, there's this moment too.
Busted. Walk of shame.
It's so good. It's such a tiny slice of Meredith's life that tells you, kind of fills in everything we've learned about her for 7 seasons up until D'Angelo and Michael. This reminds me of Katrina.
Well, you imagine that other characters would maybe wait it out and wait for Michael and D'Angelo to leave, but Meredith, busted. Walk of shame.
And immediately is like, and also cordial. Yeah. She's like, let me make you breakfast. Like, what are you talking about? Like, she's, that's why I say, like, she's a genuinely good person. I think she's just, you know, she's an extreme flavor that some people don't enjoy.
I have Vienna sausages and napkins.
Yeah, I don't want to go in there.
What a breakfast. What a breakfast that would be.
I know. But she's, I don't know. Meredith is a hero in a lot of ways, I think, because
she's a single mother.
Yes, she is. And she's
single mother to 2 kids, maybe?
Yeah.
Wendy and Jake.
Right. Yeah. What? And now we all know Jake. We see him in
Jakey.
Bring Your Daughter to Work Day and also the finale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But.
And in Free Family Portrait Studio.
Right. But when do we ever hear the name Wendy? Because that is online.
I heard that on Wikipedia.
Yeah, same here.
I believe it's in a deleted scene.
Okay. Yeah, because we all know that she says, too, at one point, she had her second kid just for the time off. Mm-hmm. But we never meet this other kid.
Yeah.
There are times when saying it's in a deleted scene feels like Kevin saying she goes to another school.
Yeah.
Another school.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's a delete. Okay, yeah. Cool. Nice. Yeah.
Oh, sure. Right.
Similar to another fact like this is in Weight Loss in the beginning of season 5, where Meredith's face is all red.
Yes.
And she talks about how she was out on a boat, you know, in a deleted scene.
Yeah.
And she says, if one more kid calls me Hellboy.
You slept with so many men, you're starting to look like one.
Just, Palmer. Her face when he's saying that is so. I mean, Kate Flannery, shout out too, because it's like she's such an incredible physical comedian. She's like, we've talked about it before. Like, she did her own stunt in that Fun Run episode when she gets hit by the car. I mean, just like,
she takes
just
a
so
beating,
many
dude over the course of the show physically. Yeah, she gets bagged twice.
Quit bagging my head.
It's actually
stop bagging my head.
It's stop bagging my head. I've been saying quit.
Don't dog catch me.
Don't dog catch me. God, the timbre of her voice there
is. Stop bagging my head.
Oh. That is so good.
She has the scene with the dress where it's like her nipples or her vagina, which she pulls it up or down. She flashes Michael. She's openly, she's compared to an ugly man several times. Her appearance is often noted by Michael. She's made fun of by Angela all the time. Like, bagged twice, bitten by a bat. She gets a cast that she has to, like, that when she has gym sign.
Yeah.
I'm singling you out.
Like, they ask Kate Flannery to do a lot with her body, and she has to be so comfortable with herself. Like, there's a reason she plays Meredith so well, is because she's, I think Kate Flannery is clearly, genuinely that comfortable in her own skin, and it bleeds over into the screen, and it's just awesome. And yeah, she's just great.
Big time.
Yeah.
She's good at being very aggressive too, I think. Yes. In the way that she yells back at Dwight, at the way that shave her head when she does that. She's really good at bringing in that actual menace. And then at times too, like, she can be kind of a bully. I'm thinking of in season 9 when Andy brings in, I think the episode is Moving On, but Andy brings in Pete's ex-girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And Gabe. And when she's walking back, Pete's ex-girlfriend, to the annex, Meredith just goes, fresh meat. I know. Like,
she's so funny, dude. Or when Ryan comes back.
Don't fall in love with me, kid. Yeah.
It's like, you've known Ryan for like 5 years at this point. Yeah. And it's just, oh, sitting next to me now. Yeah, that's... It's kind of incredible the more I think about it, of just like, and along that same lines, I was just going through Kate Flannery's Twitter today, prepping for the show, and she's so totally okay with like just being Meredith and everyone knowing her as Meredith. Like, she doesn't shy away or being like, I don't just want to be remembered as like a character from The Office. She may feel that way, but like, honestly, she just kind of loves being Meredith, and like, people love her for it, and she seems so comfortable with it, and like, it's just great.
I got this reminds me, before we started recording, I was telling these guys, I was like, Alex, I feel like there was something I was going to tell you about, but I forgot to, and I can't think of it. And it's that I got a sponsored Instagram ad for this training thing, and the ad is different characters from The Office, or the actors who play the different characters in The Office, talking about how you might need office training help. And the first person that starts is Meredith. I recorded it because it was a video. Oh. Maybe I'll send you the audio. We can drop it in.
Yeah, please do.
Oh, nice.
Please do.
It's Meredith being like, maybe if you're like us, you need a little extra help training around the office.
I'm Meredith That's Palmer, awesome. And I'm an
supplier relations.
relations.
How much Meredith loves St. Patrick's Day?
Oh yeah,
and loves partying and celebrating with her coworkers.
Yeah, no kids,
dude. Yeah,
not
she. I mean, she hooks up with Captain Jack. She hooks up with Todd Packer, or at least is trying to. Todd Packer's going.
Packer
for it.
Acknowledges it.
Yeah,
he talks about it at one point.
Uh-huh. When she's just calling around when they think the branch is going to close, trying to figure out who she made that agreement with. That's great. I love that little storyline. And she finally gets the call, and she's just ecstatic. But she's like, she'll just walk up to people and be like, did we make an agreement? You
know, like, in the sting when Danny comes in and takes off his jacket. Oh, hello. Hi, man, Danny. Me too.
Nice set of shoulders you got there.
Danny says something like, I like to think of this as like a first date. And Meredith says, feels more like a third date to me.
Yeah, I know. There's another really short moment like that when I forget the episode, but Dwight rushes in and grabs Oscar and he's like, "Oscar, there's a bunch of construction workers in the warehouse."
Yes.
Sipping Diet Coke.
They're in mesh tank tops and drinking sodas.
And it's just a quick, Meredith just goes, "Yahtzee." And just follows
putting
him
on lipstick.
Yeah, just follows him into the warehouse.
There's a moment where in season 9, it, new guys, Meredith just says, "Hey, new Jim, you want to sit on my face?" And
that's so crass.
And Jim says, "If that's the only thing that makes me like new Jim, then everyone is like us."
I think I've said this before on the show, but I kind of laugh to myself when I think about how much Meredith must have hit on Jim when he first showed up. Because we get a little bit of it when he wants to sign the cast and, you know, "I'm singling you out. And I'll read this later." It does that whole thing. And Jim is just kind of shell-shocked by the whole experience. And I just think she must have been so abusive to Jim when he first got there.
Well, you know, it's funny that she's pretty timid in the first couple seasons.
True. She was portrayed character was portrayed by a different person in the pilot. She's not in the pilot.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
They talk about that in Office Ladies, I believe.
Yeah.
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 That, speaking of that cast moment, that's kind of a fun debate between fans, as if when he signs the cast, if he signs it as Jim Halpert or John Krasinski.
Mm.
It's just kind of a quick zoom, but it's a funny thing to try to puzzle out.
He does dot. Nice, he dots a couple eyes, so it's got to be Jim. Mm. I don't think he's signed, or it's got to be.
But there are two eyes in Krasinski.
I think
Jim Krasinski.
I think he writes Jim Krasinski. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, Sean, from your...
Oh, man, really quick. That is an all-time prop I wish I had, was Meredith's cast. With that signature.
Meredith's pelvic cast.
I was going to say, if they were producing the show and he signed the wrong name, would they take the time to remake something like that to try to get the shot?
Oh.
Or would they just keep it?
Oh, man. I feel like... maybe... I guess that would be something you'd have to think about. You'd have to be like, okay, so he's signing it on camera?
Yeah,
John's gonna sign it on camera. All right, maybe we need to have three of those. Like,
okay, so you prepare for it,
right? Okay, got it.
Like Kevin spells chili on one, and you have another one just in case.
We have three pots of chili. The chili,
you only get one. I feel like they were like, "You only get one. We're gonna have to change all the carpets after that."
Yep.
But one thing that I wanted to kind of bring our attention to was Meredith being a good friend.
Oh, yes,
to different characters throughout the show. There are a handful of times like that. I think the first time that I noticed it was when Angela brings her in the Alliance for the surprise birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
And Meredith immediately turns to Angela and says, "Surprise." Like, she thinks that Angela is the one being surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I, over the course of the show, we just see a bunch of different times where Meredith is a good friend to her coworkers, or will like cooperate or go along with things. In Moroccan Christmas, when Michael tries to check her into rehab, they ask for times that people have been affected by Meredith's drinking. Mm. And Kevin talks about the time where she had movie tickets, but had got too drunk to go. So she gave them to Kevin, and Kevin was like, that was really cool. or when Pam is kind of on the fence about going to Diwali, Meredith says, "You want to come over to my place and watch Sex in the City and drink Appletinis?"
Yeah,
that sounds really nice, actually.
Yeah,
and then they go to, they of course sing karaoke at the end of Lice, and she's a bit of a, you know, she's kind of helping Pam through some stuff, and it's a really nice little scene. And you got to think that's who, in real life, if someone like Meredith worked in your office, she would always be down to go get a beer with you. And you could probably always count on her to do that.
She seems like she's got a lot of wisdom. She's streetwise, you know, can give you some good advice.
Well, and in the Lice episode, I thought it was super interesting that Pam comes in and Aaron thinks that she's Meredith initially.
Mm.
But at the end, she talks about how being a single mom kicked her butt in what, half a week?
Yeah.
And how Meredith has kind of been killing it in that regard. And Meredith says, I got the bartender's number while you were in the can. Gonna take him to Bone Town.
Hey
boom guy.
When are you gonna boom me?
Oh, I got that one for sure.
When are you gonna boom me?
Boom me. She says it's like
boom me.
Boom me.
There's another time when she says, "Hey, I'm a lady. I choose when I want to show up." Boom sauce. She does it.
Boom sauce, dude. That's so gross.
You know what? And another deleted scene from the merger. She and Karen have the same thermos they discover in the break room or the kitchen. And then Meredith is like, "Hey, you want a little?" And it's like gin or something like that.
Yeah.
And Karen says, "No, no, I'm okay."
Well, you see, there's the episode when, I mean, Meredith is drinking out of that huge cup all day. Is that in, that's Valentine's Day? We see her doing that.
Gosh, I don't remember off the top of my head.
I feel like, and then yeah, she also hits the she gets a hit of the sanitizer. But
oh yeah, that's right. That's
it's dark.
Is that season one?
It's dark. That's season two.
Okay.
But like, and that's pretty early on. And then like, it's kind of like her drinking is addressed from time to time, and like some of these, Michael makes attempts periodically to, like, you know, solve people's problems, right, by calling conference rooms and being like, okay, you this person, you have this problem, let's fix it. And as less like Meredith, she's clearly been to AA before, because if we get that one reaction, I her drinking's like, while it's like they make fun of it on the show, I mean, it's also a very serious thing, and I feel like,
yeah,
as the show goes on, they sort of correct that a little bit with Meredith, and they sort of being like, I mean, they have to end the show with like, she kind of cleans up. She's been getting this degree this entire time. She's in like amazing shape at the end of the show. It's like, so I think they come around on that. Cause I don't think you could just kind of have her be this alcoholic punching bag forever. And she really does establish definitely her own character after the first couple seasons.
That's a very good point. I wonder how they would, like, how, if a show coming out now, how you would treat that kind of issue. Because like you said, it's a really serious topic.
Mm-hmm.
But they play it for laughs so much and so often. You know, it's at the end of the show, they bring in that idea that she was getting her PhD for the first 7 years of the show, and that it was college and it's party time. Which I used to kind of not like that they did that, that they just kind of shoehorned that in at the very end to kind of reframe Meredith's character.
Yeah.
But it actually kind of – I actually kind of like it now, I think. It just adds a little bit, it rounds out a character, her character a little bit more.
Yeah, totally. But it's funny, in like other instances in the show, like when Ryan has a cocaine problem, you know, like Ryan addresses it when Michael and Dwight go to visit him right away, and he's kind of asking about it. And we never see Meredith struggle with that during the show, or like seek help.
Yeah.
Which is true to her character. And that's kind of why she's so consistent. For all 9 seasons, she's just you can always count on Meredith to have the same reactions. Of course, they do have to change that right at the end. But in the meantime, she's a lot of fun on the show. She brings an energy no one else has in the entire office, except maybe early bro Andy, and that's about it. I'm just thinking of Andy turning around with all the Jägermeister.
And
she kind of can bring out the best and worst of Michael sometimes. Like, she can make Michael feel good about himself in ways that other people can't sometimes. Like when he makes that drink,
like,
you know, with
like, oh yeah, yeah.
One more time, one of everything. And like, she loves it. And Michael's so happy. And he,
my
like,
God.
He does the double point at the camera. And it's like that's who Michael can please people like that.
If he made that drink for anyone else, they would just be like, I'm not drinking that.
Totally. I think one of the more underrated physical comedy scenes in the whole show is Michael trying to check Meredith into rehab when they actually pull up at the center, and he's trying to get her out of the car, and they fall over the garbage cans. And then at the end, it's bookended by Michael backing up into the same garbage can that he has fallen over.
Another great physical comedy moment.
Literally dragging her in.
Yeah.
This man is crazy. This man is crazy.
No.
I have a deposit. I'm alcoholic.
I have a deposit.
You talk about how they use her as a punching bag, you know, or they often, you know, use her as a punchline. There's a line where they're trying to get someone to rat on Andy, mm-hmm. to tell David Wallace that he's been gone. And Meredith says, Meredith Palmer ain't never been called no narc. Floozy? Yes. Alky? Check. Einstein sarcastically? You bet. But never no narc. Vomit mop? Sure. Floor meat? That's me. Flesh Hoover?
And then Flesh Hoover.
Pete says, Meredith, that's plenty. That's more than plenty. Why doesn't anyone stop her?
Flesh and she's Hoover wearing is the grossest blonde thing I've ever heard in my life.
She's wearing this blonde wig over her shaved head in the aftermath of life.
I love that. That's such an incredible joke that after she shaves her head, she's just got different wigs on depending on the day after that. I love that.
She does seem like an incredibly loyal person in the office, as much as she's friends with people. She seems very loyal. Back to that scene you mentioned, Edwin, of when they're talking about her alcoholism, and Kevin's like, oh, there's the time you bought movie tickets and you were too drunk and you gave them to me. That was great. And everyone's like, yeah, Meredith is great. We all like Meredith. Like, why are you bringing this up, Michael? And Dwight says, no, I like Meredith. Like, which is, Dwight doesn't like most people. And he seems to like Meredith, probably because she's not a bullshitter. Like, she's not blowing smoke up anyone's ass, you know?
Doesn't he follow that up by saying, actually, I don't care for Meredith, but I really don't like this kind of thing.
Oh, you're right. He does.
You're right.
I don't care for Meredith.
But he does say Meredith will be just, I think he has a respect for Meredith as a survivor, like he said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's not trying to please anyone ever. And I think Dwight and some other people see that. And some people are off put by it, of course. But
there are so many lines. Like, they just give her really funny lines and takes to say. Like, when they're watching the video of Josh Groban as Andy's brother for the first time, Meredith steps up and says, who's the sausage?
Yes. Oh, my God. Dude. Oh, and speaking of Josh Groban, she checks in on Andy in season 9, and she's like, I heard your brother was actually struggling with alcoholism. Is he in rehab? Like, the one in town? And he's like, I could be there in an hour. And he's like, no, he's just in New Mexico. And she's like, oh, okay. How are you doing? Just like, we're done, Meredith.
We're done.
Or how when she follows up Josh Groban, she says, you get up there and sing or I'll cut your throat, you're never going to sing again.
She's a hero, dude. She's just like, she knows what she wants and
she shoots her shot, man. In season 10, when they go through all the customer complaints, this next card comes to us thanks to Meredith Palmer, who called Eastern Pennsylvania Seminary a, quote, sausage factory. Meredith goes, ooh, boom. Yeah. The seminary.
Oh, my God. And we haven't even talked about Moroccan Christmas when we get this.
Oh, burning.
Yeah. That was just for you, Edwin. It's an obscure drop, but it's great.
Oh, burning.
She's burning.
Someone sent us that as an earworm, and like even reading it just made me laugh.
She's burning.
It's the funniest thing to like say what's happening in that moment. Yeah. She's burning. Such an interesting choice. And that's, I mean, that, you know, obviously that leads to everything we talked about where she's trying, Michael wants to like, you know, cure her of it. But yeah, I mean, everyone else seems fine with her alcoholism, as does she. She's like, I know I like to party. I drink.
I mean, Holly Flax has kind of got a problem with Meredith when she first shows up or when at least business ethics is an important Meredith Palmer episode. When she confesses to the office that she's been sleeping with Bruce from the Hammer Mill supplier for discounts and Outback Steakhouse coupons. But like there's just that whole part where they invite Meredith into Michael's office and she's like, I don't know, maybe it's just like a woman thing, but when he give me those coupons, I just felt good about myself.
Oh, trying to help you. You're sleeping back.
No.
There's not a lot of fruit in those looms. That's what she says about him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's mostly about the coupons.
One last note, that scene when Michael tries to force her into rehab and just says, Michael says, Which is another one of Michael's movie moments where he's like trying to do something he's seen in a movie, which is save someone by taking them to rehab with an intervention. He says, turns out you can't just check someone into rehab against their will. They have to do it voluntarily. They have to hit rock bottom. So I think I know what I need to do at this point. I need to find ways to push Meredith to the bottom. I think I can do it. I did it with Jan.
See, I'm sad that we didn't go down, that they didn't go down that path.
I know.
I would have loved to have seen it.
But I am glad they didn't make that like a long story arc or something with like getting Meredith sober. No. You know, it's I don't know. She works so much better as a character.
There is a time Meredith is so blunt and straightforward and direct with that kind of stuff in Christmas Wishes in season 8 when she's when Andy is her drunk driver, mm-hmm. or her designated driver, I should say. They have to go by, make sure that Aaron gets home okay. And then at the next episode, Meredith says, yeah, he wanted to make sure California didn't put it in you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Meredith. So yeah.
We should talk about
that. In that moment, yeah. Andy opens her, they open her trunk door and all this stuff comes out. She goes, no, my stuff, my treasures. My treasure. This is your quarter. She says, no, I'm going to sell it on eBay.
My treasures.
This place reminds me of Katrina.
The trunk door opens and then just stuff starts falling out. Yeah.
We should talk about her car, actually, because it comes up a few times throughout the show. Most notably, I think when they all go to the mall with Michael. That's a big van moment. Yeah. I don't think you're going to make
it. She's just eating chips while driving.
My car, my rules.
I don't. And, of course, when Michael decides to communicate to Pam silently where they want to meet, he uses Meredith's car by doing the drink.
Miming,
5 minutes. I weirdly know.
Strangely, I know exactly what you mean.
Exactly what you mean. and so the fact that she has a van and she could take a lot of people, it just comes up a few times. Pam fixes the tire on that van at one point.
They use it to take Dwight to the hospital.
That's right. They do. Because
Remember, Dwight finds the alcohol in the car.
That's right.
In the whistleblower episode, they all... Yeah, I think that's this episode you're thinking of too, right? When they all meet in the, when they all meet in the van.
It's just a funny thing that happens a few times, which is like Meredith can be very eager to help, but no one wants Meredith to help them. Like it happens when she's giving rides or making breakfast for Michael and D'Angelo. It's just like people just don't want to be in her personal life at all.
This is kind of related, but when at the end of Business Ethics, when they're all eating steak, they're all like, thanks Meredith, they all is there any more steak sauce, and Meredith says, I think I have some in my van.
She
goes down to her car to get I got a bag of cigars in my purse, I'll smoke outside with you.
another deleted scene when Meredith they're talking about the Finer Things Club. And I can see why they cut this, because it's an edge to like her drinking that goes a little too far for the show. And I think that's probably why they cut it. It's right here.
I don't know why I'm not in the Finer Arts Club. It's bull crap.
So she throws her drink like at the camera and it gets a perfect splash of booze right on the lens and kind of blurs the lens a little bit. And then Meredith just goes, you clean it up. And... It goes a little over the line of like, okay, this is a little too dark for the show. And like, it's sort of like, I think why they've cut some scenes where we see Oscar acting like apparently Oscar, they thought about making him an alcoholic too, like a very
mean
drunk. And I feel like they sort of shave these sharp edges off the characters. We see that in the deleted scenes. It's a smart move. Cause I don't think what makes Meredith almost charming in a way is like when she drinks, she just wants to like dance and flash people. It's like, you know, it's not appropriate. It's not okay. It's not something we should encourage, but like Meredith is who is. She is who, and she doesn't care. And that's why she's
fairly harmless. Yeah.
I think that you're spot on with that, Alex. And it reminds me of two instances that feel similar for different reasons. One is, again, when they're reading out the customer complaints, Meredith is talking about how Pam doesn't have a complaint. She says, you, Little Miss Priss, you wouldn't fart on a butterfly. And Pam says, no, I wouldn't. I can't even relate to that impulse. But in
Little
a deleted
Miss Thing
scene.
Wants attention, Meredith.
Meredith? Yes. Oh, that's Yes, that one is king. That is one that lives on very strongly in office fan groups on Facebook. Yeah.
I want to play it one more time just to hear the way Pam says Meredith at the
little
end.
Miss thing wants attention, Meredith.
I'll give you a deleted scene that I couldn't think of watching, but I found a quote from it. And again, it's maybe a little bit too much edge for her character. It's at the end of The List, season one. And when all the like quote unquote losers are in the office, and Gabe says, "My entire childhood, I was the one left out. And I said to myself, Gabe, if you just achieve some success, you'll be part of them. You'll be part of the happy ones. But instead, people just use my success as a new way to shut me out." And Meredith says, "Hey, this ain't no Breakfast Club, bitch."
That's
awesome. Oh, hey, I like me loud! Oh, wow.
Oh, before we move on to some conference room and trivia, any other moments that you got to mention about Meredith?
She's so supportive of her son when he shows up as the stripper.
We have to talk about that. Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of times during the show when it seems like Meredith is a terrible mother. But
yeah.
But I mean, she says no kids on St. Patrick's Day. She says that, you know, she uses the bonus money that they get every year to buy shoes for her kid. Mm-hmm. And if she doesn't get a bonus, then her kid doesn't get shoes.
There's one at the end of Lice. Meredith says, "Who's the one who didn't bring Lice into the office? Meredith. Sure. I gave everybody pink eye once, and my ex keyed a few of their cars. And yeah, I BM'd in the shredder on New Year's Eve. I didn't bring the license. That was Pam."
Here's one from Goodbye Michael when they're planning his birthday and they're talking about cakes. And Meredith says, "I know these Ethiopians that run a cake shop." Angela, good God. "No, I know what you're thinking, but it's not just black. They do it all. And these women on these cakes, they're not just guys' fantasies. They have real full women. It's refreshing." Bam. Oh, don't turn this into some feminist issue. Which is like... Meredith, I think Meredith can be a feminist icon. Let's be real.
Oh yeah.
And Phyllis says, as someone who buys a lot of erotic cakes, it just feels good to be represented.
That's a person who buys a lot of erotic cakes. I'm thinking of her and Bob feeding each other mushrooms. Ugh.
When they talk about making small talk, examples of ways to make small talk, Meredith starts talking about how her son started taking a dump in the upper part of the toilet. Calls it an upper decker. Or when the balloon, when they have to pop the balloon,
uh-huh,
and they're all reminiscing on different things from their life, Meredith says, "My kid didn't have a face tattoo."
from Test the Store. Daryl, Andy, who punched you? Hey, I was Meredith. Hey, I was on the can. What's this about a black guy in the office? Black eye, Meredith.
He's in double date. Meredith says, "Michael wasn't in the bathroom, but the seat's warm, so he could be pretty close by."
That's amazing.
I kind of wish. Can you imagine if they brought Meredith to Tallahassee?
That would have been so much better. I don't know why they didn't.
They brought Stanley instead. You know, I feel like they could have swapped that out. But
Stanley was a good one. We didn't need what's her name,
Kathy.
Kathy.
No. Yeah, put Meredith in Kathy's role and still trying to seduce Jim the same way. Walking in the middle of the night.
Is this March Madness? No, that would be in March. She's like, "I don't care."
Yeah, I know. Get on the bed, Albert. Yeah. She gets legitimately pissed about not winning cutest redhead in the office after receiving best mother.
Yeah. Tell you one thing, I'm not going to be a good mom tonight.
Oh, like mom always says, talk classy, stay nasty. Yep. Act nasty.
She is just She's great. She loves the billboards that Eddie puts up that are then defaced. Oh, yeah. Like, she thinks it's a brilliant
yeah,
thing.
I love it.
Andy
it's edgy.
Did.
Yeah.
Funny, edgy, right up to the line without crossing it. Loved it. This pool is choice.
This pool is choice. How yeah, long? What is it? No Band-Aids?
No top scum, no Band-Aids. This pool is choice. I mean, how long do you think we could do this? Probably another hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez, you gave me a paper cut on my throat.
That's right.
Yeah, I have this thing about men cutting or threatening to cut my throat. Don't try to cut my throat.
How about in the duel? It's just a quick aside as Meredith and Oscar are walking away, and he says, "I knew something bad was going to happen today." Oscar says, "You said that yesterday." "Yeah, my neighbor got murdered."
Meredith also says when they go for the duel, Meredith says, "I call loser." Yeah, I
There's a lot of undertones that she's been filmed in a lot of sexual encounters as well, and she's addicted to porn. Yeah. So there you go.
I ask everyone in the room, are you in a relationship?
She helps play the prank on Holly in Goodbye Toby with the porcupine.
The porcupine.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah, she's part of that. That's right.
And what's funny is that there is a deleted scene, believe it or not, where she gets brought into the scheme by Dwight because I think she talks about hating her like pretty blonde hair or something like that. Dwight brings her into the scheme, but they cut it. So what we have is Meredith just being part of the team, and we just accept it as the viewer because that seems like something that she would be up for. Or when in Koi Pond, Aaron asked Michael if he made a big splash at the meeting, she says, "Oh my god, I didn't know it was that. Meredith and Kevin put me up to it." And Kevin says, "I'm gonna kill you."
I thought you were gonna say the scene when they're like writing up things to make fun of or not, like on the board.
Oh,
and
yes.
Meredith writes sex with a terrorist.
Oh yeah, that's right.
There's so
oh
many.
My gosh.
Like how her roommate's friend is the night janitor at the at Raskin Design.
Or just
another
simple one when she's talking to Pam about their wedding, and she just goes like, "Niagara Falls in October? Hell's yeah." Like, she's so
"I'll have whatever's fanciest, unless there's ribs."
Yeah.
"And I'll text you."
Yeah, day of. Man. Well,
oh man.
Should we wrap this up?
I will say that Meredith has rapidly ascended the list of favorite characters for me in a way that I was not expecting.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Me neither.
You know, my thought going back and looking at her character.
Stop bagging my head!
She's going to have the best collection of drops.
I know. These are all so usable. Man.
You know, we've talked about out of character moments. I don't know if Meredith has any.
That's a great point.
I mean, that's really, like, point. You know, Creed, Dwight, everybody, Kevin Malone, like, all these characters experience, like, or have lines that don't really line up with their character. Stanley, certainly. Mm-hmm. But I can't think of one. And if any listeners have any moments where they think Meredith did something out of character, send them to us, because I think that she has zero.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I didn't think about it until you brought it up just now, but I think, like, the way that these characters are often drawn is they become more exaggerated versions of themselves. I mean, you look at Kevin as an example where his character gets stupider and stupider mm-hmm. over the course of the show, and Meredith's character gets more wild and really loose with what she says, but she's also so – but they also flip it from her drinking a lot and her, like, being very sexual to like being a like into partying kind of. They kind of mm-hmm. they kind of change the direction of it in a way that feels a lot less serious than just drinking, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because she's always doing it in the context of partying and yes. having fun. And then you couple that with how comfortable she is with herself, and then you round that out with the fact that she was in school getting her PhD and it was party time in school. And mm-hmm. yeah, to your point, she grows into her character mm-hmm. versus the other characters who kind of outgrow their what like the sort of realistic sort of limit is
yeah.
or what we'd expect.
That's a good point.
You know? Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way, but
mm-hmm.
yeah.
And she's a member of the Einsteins. Let's not forget too.
Oh yeah,
that's that whole group is pretty much some of the most consistent characters.
She
on the
leads.
Show.
She leads them off when they say, she says, I think she says, good timers or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just for fun. And then they all follow her back.
Yep. Yep. Meredith Palmer. We could go so much further, but we must move on. So conference room, 5 minutes.
Conference room, 5 minutes.
All right, we just got a couple emails here just that we're catching up on because we've been getting a lot of emails coming in. Let's clear some out here. Here's one we got from Alicia, who says, I thought of an interesting topic you guys might want to discuss. I've watched The Office so many times, and I can't imagine anything being different, but I'd like to see what you guys think of what could have become of the show had Andy never been part of the cast at all. Now, this is not saying he still does his season 3 arc and he leaves after he punches the wall. But if he's not there at all, I mean, does it work? How would you see the show with the biggest changes in the show?
That's a really good question. Andy brings a lot of adversarial sort of qualities to the show, as the antagonist for Jim, who's somehow even more challenging and annoying than Dwight, that Jim has to acknowledge. And then his rivalry with Dwight for a couple seasons and leading up to the duel. That's such an important ingredient that you would miss.
Yes, totally.
Yeah, you definitely, yeah, that's a great point. You need somebody to be an antagonist from Jim in Stamford. Otherwise, it doesn't seem like Jim's going to be there it doesn't seem permanent, which I feel like that was kind of they kind of had to play with our emotions there, it seem like he's going to be there forever.
I was going to say, he gets the tuna nickname day one in Stamford, and right. you lose the whole tuna thing. I mean,
that's rough.
The biggest vacuum I think that's left would be Dwight and Angela's relationship would have a lot less, just overall, would have to either happen sooner, not at all, or like you can't drag out that for as many seasons as you do.
Well, there wouldn't really be... So, I mean, Dwight and Angela split when Dwight murders Sprinkles, but there wouldn't be a character to kind of come in after that to date Angela.
Right. No character coming in with an ice sculpture.
Yeah.
Right.
Stole it.
One thing made of ice.
You wonder how it would look when they get back together eventually.
There'd be far less singing in the show.
That's true.
That's true.
Music.
And I think there Andy adds a really, really... like random silly element that a lot of other characters don't.
Mm.
I'm trying to think of a good way to describe it.
He's usually listed under chaotic good on these tests. Whereas like, you know, for saying Meredith is a chaotic neutral, which I sort of agree with. I mean, Andy's so ineffectual for the most part. And just like, I don't know if any of the characters really respect him. Certainly Dwight doesn't. And so, like, that aspect of it, that his insecurities fuel a lot of plot and a lot of, like, character exploration, he's really important. I mean, it's an obvious thing to say, but, like, if he wasn't there, I mean, season 8, what happens, you know?
Well, right, no, but I agree totally with the idea. In season 6 and 7, he's, like, the character who wants something that he can't have when he's dating Aaron, with Aaron. And he's got this kind of neediness that's like similar to Michael.
Yeah.
But that happens at a time in the show when Michael is becoming more rounded out and eventually leaves and shows character growth. Mm-hmm. So Andy provides like the seminar, for example, sex ed, I'm thinking of when he puts on that thing for everyone. He wants everyone to kind of realize what he's doing for him. Give it a rest, pencil dick. And then, season 8, I guess you would just have to put a different character in as manager and then write it out with season 9 with somebody else.
Yeah.
What happens to Aaron's character without Andy?
I was going to say, I think that they would have brought in someone else. I think that's the biggest change. It's just like the whole show would have changed because probably someone else would have been in the cast.
Right.
Like they had to introduce somebody, right? Maybe Aaron would come in earlier. I don't know, but we'll never know. We'll never know. Maybe someone writes some fan fiction without Andy.
It's out there.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for that, Alicia. Next question here. This comes from Becca, who says, hey, hello, love the show, tell everyone about it. Well, thank you. At the end of pool party, Jim peels out of Robert's yard, knocking over a mailbox. I get his urge to escape, but Jim definitely drank most or all of a bottle of wine before leaving. I'm not here to be anyone's mom, but it seems out of line with the way the show has treated driving and drinking in the past. Pam got a ride after Chili's. Meredith got rides from numerous coworkers over the years. Karen scooped up Jim so he wouldn't drunkenly drive his bike while Andy planned to sleep at the office. Right. Even Jan, even Jan gave the keys to Michael after having too much wine.
This is a great. I love this list.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Isn't that just a great list of scenes? Anyone else notice this? Keep it up, guys. Becca, that's great.
I've never noticed that. I've never thought about that. Amazing. You're absolutely right. Very inconsistent.
Is Jim drinking the wine, or is he kind of pretending to, or just?
I guess he could be pretending.
I think, yeah, it's a really interesting point because that's one thing with Jim where he took the lesson from Karen after that time in Stanford.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, shoot. And like she would just pour hers in the garbage.
Yeah.
maybe he got that pointer from her.
Yeah.
I think.
Come, Jim, you must see what you've been laughing about.
Yeah. Why would I especially like that? I don't know. Just come on.
Just come on.
I think, too, the other funny thing about Jim is he always tries to find a way out, but he always is often caught in a situation where he has to stay, like the squash match.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like Mrs. California when he's caught in the lie.
Yeah, I know.
And is trying to run away. Like, there's something funny about Jim trying to escape and not being able to. the only thing I can maybe think is that Jim maybe poured out the wine somewhere, somehow, when he had an opportunity. But
yeah.
But I agree. It is very different from the way the show portrays. Yeah.
But by the way, thank you for that, Becca. By the way, Becca wrote in the subject line when she sent that to us, it says dunk driving. So maybe don't drink and write emails, huh? Hey. All right.
Oh, my God.
That was for D'Angelo. Driving and dunking. Driving to the lane.
All right, last here. Allison just sent us an incredible email. I wanted to shout her out too. She wrote to us. Your Ryan analysis was a game changer for me. He's my all-time favorite character. I haven't heard anyone say that. Name an arc more dramatic than his. I'll wait.
You talked about Big Tuna, but yeah, Big Turkey. Goes away right away.
When you pointed out that his perfect foil of Jim as ambitious and not cut out for it, while Jim is cut out for it but not ambitious, has fully changed my game. And I tell people all the time when they tell me they don't like Ryan, which is honestly all the time. Where are my Ryan lovers at? Folks, if you love Ryan, let us know. Allison, really quickly, she also said... our trivia team name thing where we always talk about trivia team names.
Yeah.
She gave us a few. Mm-hmm. Shoe La La, Holly's Cut Sleeve, nice. Cutting Down the Competition.
Nice.
I like this one. I'm a suck, suck, suckety saber.
nice.
Tube City.
Yes.
Dunder Mifflin, this is. Luanda at the Alcohol Club, and their all time favorite, Kapoor and Kadesperate. Allison also, when she wrote us in, she co-owns a, her and her wife have a brewery in Denver called Lady Justice Brewing. So check them out.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Go get some beer from them if you're in Denver and, help them out.
That's great.
Thanks for writing that in, Allison.
That's awesome.
Sorry. One last thing she said. She says, not to shit on a most recent draft pick, but technically, the pizza guy, this is in relation to our single episode character draft we did. She says, technically, the pizza delivery guy was in a later episode.
I can see it.
Season, he's on Glee. Yes.
But a different character.
Yes. So different
guy. Okay, so there.
That's
awesome. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that, Allison. Thanks for the email.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Ryan's. I love Ryan.
Well, she's your wife.
That's true. Oh gosh,
it's cool to think that like us just talking about a character can, you know, change the way people think about mm-hmm. a character or view the show. I mean, that's like the fun of doing this. I think when you chop up the show, and for me personally, like when we do prep and you focus in on a character like Meredith, it really kind of illuminates all the different traits about them that you could really like or dislike, depending on who it is.
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, I would not think about how Meredith's a good friend or maybe some one of the characters in The Office who just is true to themselves the most. You know, mm-hmm. It'd just be like, oh, hilarious Meredith. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. She goes to the royal wedding. We didn't talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Skipped her sister's funeral.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, to wrap up our conference room, we are still, if you're listening to this 5 years in the future when we have a vaccine, we're still in the midst of the COVID quarantine. So you guys have any new quarantine picks to share with folks who are staying home, especially now that it's colder out? I'll start. I'm obsessed with this TV show, Over the Garden Wall. It's a cartoon.
You were mentioning this.
Yeah, it's a cartoon on Hulu. I'm sorry to be suggesting it now because it's a great Halloween show, but it's only 10 episodes. It's only one season. It's got Elijah Wood, John Cleese, Christopher Lloyd, Melanie Linsky. It's like a star-studded cartoon that's like super beautiful and creepy and funny and incredible music. So check that out. I think that's on Hulu. Just watch Royal Tenenbaums on Amazon the other night again. If you've never seen Royal Tenenbaums, yeah. God, that's a great
check
movie.
Check it out. I was saying this to you guys before we started too, but I'm just like totally obsessed with The Queen's Gambit on Netflix right now. And I'm like halfway through the fourth episode. And when pre-COVID days, I helped coach a kid's chess club at the school near my house. And I have a very, very soft spot and a very like I've teared up a few times on the show when she talks about chess in certain ways and like relates it to her life and like. There's something about kids connecting with chess that's like one of the most beautiful things in the world, and the show does such a good job of illustrating that, and at least in the early stages. So I'm obsessed with that show, The Queen's Gambit on Netflix. It's fantastic.
For our listeners who don't know Alex, he's like weirdly obsessed with chess. So
excuse me. I don't say you're weirdly obsessed with brewing beer. It's just a thing you do. It's just an interest.
Okay, when we go camping, like...
Really put him on blast after that really thoughtful, heartfelt...
Jesus, man!
But yeah, he's into that, whatever that is, yeah.
Chess is a global... It's the most popular game in the world.
When people are like... When we go camping and like everyone's been like up all night, like drinking and having a good time and stuff like that, and everyone's like, all right, time for bed. Like... Alex and a couple of our other buddies who are also weirdly obsessed with chess would be like, oh, yes, let's play some chess. Like,
yeah, because whenever we play chess in front of you guys, this shit happens. And you know what we're doing? We're drinking and having a great time, and we're playing some chess. There's nothing wrong with it. It's healthy. It's good for me. That's how I like to wake up in the morning. Sue me.
Gosh, I miss being able to do those kind of camping trips, you know. Man. We didn't really get to do many of this.
I know, no, we haven't been camping in a while.
But yeah. I have some picks.
Yeah, what you got?
You know, Edwin's weirdly obsessed with The Office.
Yeah, that's very true. You can 100% do that. Put that on my tombstone, I guess. I've been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Have you guys watched that?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
It's really good, dude. I really, really like it. Yeah. It's really funny. And I watched most of the first season and I wasn't sure exactly where to jump in. So I've stopped and started a couple times trying to get into it. But recently I've gotten into it and I've watched the whole thing now. And it's really, really great. It's very funny in that the way that Parks – I mean, granted, these shows were influenced by each other or had similar creators and stuff. But in the way that like Parks feels like The Office – and Brooklyn Nine-Nine really feels like Parks. Brooklyn Nine-Nine does such a good job of being about the people in the office building, in the office space, in a way that I wasn't expecting, that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. It's really funny. It's on Hulu. Another random one from earlier in quarantine that I was thinking about how much I liked was Catastrophe. Have you guys seen that?
I love Catastrophe.
That's on Amazon. That's really,
really
great.
Good.
And then a random one that you could call this something that I'm weirdly obsessed with. Top Chef, man. I love Top Chef.
Nice.
It's my favorite reality show, and I don't watch very many of them. But I just watched the most recent season. There's a bunch of them on Hulu, I believe. So, you know, find something to binge.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Nice, let us know your
great quarantine picks.
Everyone out there, find something to get weirdly obsessed with.
Yeah. And if you're going to send us an email, send us throw your quarantine pick in there too. We're always looking for new stuff to watch.
Sure.
All right, let's move on to some trivia.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
This week's trivia coming from Sam W. from Arizona. She says, "Hi, MSPC. Hope you're all doing well. Just wanted to send my love and support for the podcast. In addition to this trivia, love the work you do. Hope you enjoy." Okay, so this trivia has a theme. I'll let you guess the theme, and you can guess it at any time. I'll just leave that one as a bonus. Here we go.
November.
No, wrong. Season 3, episode 16, Phyllis's Wedding. Who was the ring bearer at Michael's mom's wedding?
The dog.
Is it about animals? Can is it being animals?
Can you be more specific?
The dog? Jeff? Was it Jeff's dog?
Jeff's dog. Jeff's Thank dog. You. Okay, yes,
yeah. I was thinking, trying to think, does that dog have a name?
Is the theme, is the theme animals?
The theme is animals. Good. Very good. All right, season 4, episode 2, Dunder Mifflin Infinity. What is missing from the gift basket that Michael and Dwight gave to the law office that left Dunder Mifflin?
Can I answer this with a drop?
Oh, yeah. Please do.
Fuck, where is it? I have so many pages.
Boss is thinking to himself in his head, where are the turtles, is what he's thinking to himself.
I have so many pages of drops. I haven't played this one in forever. I don't have it on there, so yeah.
Where are the turtles?
Thank you.
Okay. Season 3, episode 10, A Benihana Christmas. What Christmas miracle animal did Dwight hit with his car and want to cook?
A goose,
yes. Season 8, episode 9, Mrs. California. What's the name of Oscar's puppy?
Gerald.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Here's a picture of him in a ladle.
Season 3, episode 4, Grief Counseling. How old was Ryan when his fish never came back from the hospital, then proceeded to have a fish funeral?
5?
Yep, 5 years old. And he was thinking, I'm a little old for this. Season 7, episode 19, Training Day. What did D'Angelo see on the overpass?
A hawk.
Oh, yeah.
So a hawk today.
That's right.
Right on the overpass. Just looking at me.
That's so funny.
Season 8, episode 10, Christmas Wishes. What is the name of Dwight's porcupine?
Henrietta.
Correct. Season 7, episode 12, Classy Christmas. What is the name of comic Pam makes for Jim as a Christmas gift?
Oh, Bearman.
Bearman, yes. Season 2, episode 19, Michael's Birthday. Which birthday of Michael's did he have a pony and an unfortunate rash?
11th?
No, it's like... I think you're about to say 7th, weren't you?
I was about to say 7th. That's correct.
You're like,
you got it right.
By the way, I just love that throughout that episode of just getting him saying, like, that was probably my worst birthday.
Yeah, that's right. Season 8, episode 5, Scranton Horror Story. What does Robert California's son, Bert, think is the most deadliest animal?
Jellyfish. Right?
Yes. Oh. But can you be more specific?
A box jellyfish,
wow. Yes.
Jesus Christ, Edwin.
Season 4, episode 1, Fun Run. What 3 animals had Meredith been bitten by according to her medical record when she cracked her pelvis?
A raccoon,
a bat.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And a rat, non-related.
A rat.
Yeah, all separate occasions.
Oh, yeah, the look the doctor has.
Season 6, episode 26, Whistleblower. What video was in the competition of views with Michael's interview about the saber printers catching on fire?
The baby sloth at the zoo. Or no, otters.
Baby otters being born at the zoo. Okay, what were the names of Joe Bennett's Great Danes and second set of dogs?
Joe Jr.
Yes.
And this was a question we had not that long ago. It's like, oh my gosh.
Is it like Carl?
It's
like Spanky or something like that.
All right, help me out. It's spelled C-A-L-L-E, so it's
Callie.
That's Callie. Oh, Callie. Callie.
And Joe Jr.
And Joe Jr.
Okay.
She has a second set of dogs. Do you know what those names are?
Dwight Howard and Christian Slater.
Cornelius and Bobo.
Wow.
This is, and I didn't know that. So thank you, Sam, for teaching. Yeah, cool. You definitely taught us something.
I feel
something
if you
there.
Had dogs that were named Cornelius and Bobo, it would be really hard not to call them Coco and Bobo.
Yeah, I like that.
Or Cornelius and Bornelius. Alternatively.
And Gabe makes three.
Cornelius, Bobo, and Gabe.
Season 5, Episode 10, The Surplus. What animal butter sculpture options did Dwight give Angela and Andy for their wedding?
Goat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're all farm animals. Cow. Right? Like pig.
Cow and sheep. Correct. Correct. And what did Angela request as a bonus?
A cat sculpture of cow butter.
Yes, that's right. Okay, season two more questions here for you. Two more questions. Season 8, episode 22, The Fundraiser. Can you name two of the mentioned adopted dogs' names from the animal rights activists?
That's when Kevin gets Ruby.
Yes. Okay, so nice. There's one.
I have no idea what the other one is.
I'll give you a hint that Daryl adopted a dog named Pepper.
Okay. Hey, my first pet was named Pepper. It was a rat.
Okay. All right. Season 4, episode 1, Fun Run. This is the final question here for you. What animals did Michael mention in his in his rant about, like,
Are you saying when they're the head of
worshiping some sort of god? Okay, so I'll give you the whole thing with blanks. Okay, so there's six.
Oh my gosh!
I think there's six mentioned.
Can
maybe
we try and answer as you get to the blank? Because I'm not going to be able to.
Okay, so it just starts like a giant blank.
Dog or giraffe or lion. I mean, are we trying to guess in order the combinations, or do you want
you
the animals?
You do guess as we go. I can give you the whole thing in blanks. Like a giant blank or some sort of monster, like something like the body of a blank with the head of a blank. Or something with the body of a blank with the head of a blank. Or just the head of a blank with the antlers of a blank with the body of a blank. Okay, there's actually seven here.
Very helpful.
It ends with, the last one is the head of a monkey, antlers of a reindeer with a porcupine.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the only
body
thing
I know. Body of a porcupine, head of a monkey, antlers of a reindeer.
I don't know anything egret. Else.
An egret.
Body of an egret with the head of a
walrus. Sea lion?
Walrus and sea lion are two.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're missing just two more here.
Is there a there's like a bison. Eagle. There's like a bison.
There's a buffalo is the very first one, and the last one you're missing. It's body of an egret with the head of a
meerkat.
Meerkat. Good
job. Once you said it in that way, I was like, it just was like, oh, it's meerkat. Right. Okay.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean. I don't think we've pointed this out before, but the body of a walrus with the head of a sea lion, that's a sea lion.
I've never thought that.
I love it so much. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Sam, for sending
us
that trivia. If you have your own trivia, send it to us, please. We need them. Email us.
Well,
MS
we have
Podcast
a few
Company.
In backlog, but yeah, we'll take
we got
one.
A few. We got a few.
Backlog.
We got a few, but we need to keep them coming in. So shoot it over to us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. You can always give us a call, 503-694-9314. We love to play the messages on the show. We're on Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. And, of course, we're on Patreon, patreon.com/Michael Scott. Thank you so much to our Patreon subscribers. It's $5 bucks a month, and you can become a Scott's Tot. This month, we're doing just every other week, or we're only doing two public episodes this month. But on Patreon, we're going to continue to do our mailbag. Every month, this is a bonus mailbag episode. We did a second bonus episode for our Patreon subscribers.
We did a draft of our favorite single episode characters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No, sorry.
We just drafted
episodes that we think could be like removed from The Office entirely. Yes. And we're very proud that a lot of that money ends up goes to supporting the show, but also we make a donation to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund.
We got another about $350 going there this month.
Bam.
Awesome.
Thank you guys so much for doing that with us. That's awesome. Special thanks to Ryan Lloyd, who helps us with our social media and designs all our artwork. And this episode was recorded in Portland, Oregon over video chat.
We really appreciate you guys every single week or every single episode. Really and truly, we mean it. I'm sorry that we're only, every other week this month, but we're hoping to get back to weekly here pretty soon. So stay with us. We really appreciate you hanging out with us. But take care. Stay safe. We'll see you next week. Where are the turtles?
Hippity poppy, give me the song.
Yes, sir.
Turtle, my mother says, when you gonna live your life? Oh, mother dear, we're not the fortunate ones. And girls, they want to have fun.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island, USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.